It's Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study. We've been in this study for 44 lessons now, and I hope you're enjoying it. It's a heck of a good study. And we're going to begin at the 13th chapter, I believe, is where we left off. In chapter 13 of the Revelation, we see portrayed the evil that is perpetuated when political power, such as Islam is a political power, and a lot of religions are political, folks. Get that down in your thinking, because they are not religious that want to serve God. They're strictly want to serve themselves. And they have these beliefs, but they mean nothing, really. They mean nothing. And we are getting into a little bit of the Babylonian group of those that separate themselves. And they may be Babylonian, they may be Islam, they may be some other religion. But the evil that is perpetuated when a political power makes use of religion to validate itself and coerce its subjects, such as Islam. We have seen this story play out over and over in history. The founding fathers of the United States, having recently fought a war to become free from the similar tyranny of church and state, forbade in the Constitution the establishment of religion by Congress, or inhibition by Congress of the free exercise of religion, seeking to avoid this unholy wedding between religion and politics. However, this has not kept the two apart, even in the United States. The politicians believe, again and again, appeal to religious and moral principles to justify political actions. And there should be this is a Christian nation, and it should be leaning Christian, don't you think? Instead of leaning toward Darwinism or anything, because it's going to lean somewhere. And it may as well lean Christian. Judeo-Christian values is what we have. And that's the way we should be leaning. And that is the truth. We see this over and over and over again. And it's we should make an attempt to understand it completely. Now, the politicians again and again appeal to religious and moral principles to justify political actions. And we should not wish political action to be contrary to those principles, but for politicians to seek to justify themselves in controversial matters primarily by an appeal to religion and morals, and not is to risk calling forth once again the beast from the sea and the land. Now, the 14th chapter, we see the Lamb's companions. Then I looked, and there was a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Notice here, mark of Jesus Christ, the sealing of Christianity, and the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit. I heard a sound from heaven like a sound of rushing water, or a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like the harpists playing their harps. They were singing, what seemed to be a new hymn before the throne, before the living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this hymn except the 144,000 who had been ransomed from the earth. This man-child, referred to as a man-child in the King James, man-child, singular, represents the church, taken up, raptured, if you please, and you find that this could be the rapture of the church. The 144,000 simply meaning a completeness, and of those sealed by the Spirit, covered by the blood, being virgins, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, making them whole once again. Now, I heard a sound from heaven. The sound I heard was like harpers. They were singing a new hymn. No one could learn this hymn. And these are they who are not defiled with women or defiled with spiritual adultery as well. They're virgins, and they're the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They've ransomed at the first fruits of the human race for God and the Lamb. On their lips, no deceit has been found. They are unblemished. At 14:1, Mount Zion, the name of the hill upon which the temple in Jerusalem was built. References to the temple have been consistently been referring to God's heavenly habitation as well. This Mount Zion, referred to here as, is also the heavenly one, as evidenced by 14:3, which refers to God's throne. And the four living creatures and the 24 elders. 144,000, same group as in chapter 7, in contrast to those bearing the mark of the beast. They had his mark, Christ the Lamb's name and his Father's name written on their foreheads, sealed. And they, kind of a contrast to, you know, Satan is a he's a deceiver. He's a mocker. He's an imitator. He tries to do everything God does in an attempt to gain a godhood or a god style. He has done all he can to become God. I don't know how he gets away with it. I really don't. And he's not going to get away with it very long. Now, the 144,000, same group as in chapter 7, whereas the voice of God and the Christ, of Christ, has been compared to rushing water, 14:2, or a loud peal of thunder. It also sounds like harpists playing on their harps. I mean, a thunder of harps. It's more than just a one harp playing. According to 1 Kings 10 and verse 12, Solomon made lyres and harps for the singers in the temple. These were standard musical instruments for the earthly temple. In 14:3, here again is the new hymn. We're going to sing a new song. A new song. You know, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. A new hymn. which we saw in 5 and verse 9, this song belongs only to the redeemed. It cannot be sung except by them. This has given rise to the poetic notion that the saints sing the song of redemption, which angels cannot sing themselves. The church is the ones that are redeemed. Now, 14:4 virgins, John using the Old Testament metaphor in which the prophets referred to Israel as an adulteress. When it fell into idolatry and illusion, which we saw in 2:20 to 22, John means that these are the saints, specifically, those who abstain from worshiping things on earth, gods on earth, or Satan being the god of this world. They abstain. Who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This is a very, this is a picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd, which we see in John 10 and Revelation 7:17. They follow their shepherd even to the death. And ransomed. They've been ransomed, purchased, bought, and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And then they were taken up. They're actually caught up into heaven. Death delivered them from the ordeal. The first fruits of the human race. This is a reference to the law of Moses, in which the first portion of the harvest is to be given to God. James 1 and verse 18 says, He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. This is not a reference to the order in which these 144,000 reached heaven. It's an indication of their status. And 14 and verse 5, Zephaniah 3:13 speaks of a remnant of Israel in this way. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. This also recalls the innocence of the suffering servant of God in Isaiah 53 and verse 9, which says that he had not spoken any falsehood. And they did not find any evil in their tongues. Now, the three angels, 14 and verse 6 to 13, the three angels. Then I saw another angel flying high overhead with everlasting good news to announce to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. He said in a loud voice, Fear God, give him glory, for his time has come to sit in judgment. Worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. A second angel followed, saying, Fallen. Fallen is Babylon the great, that made all the nations drink the wine of her licentious passion. A third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, Anyone who worships the beast or its image or accepts its mark on the forehead or hand will also drink of the wine of God's fury, poured out full strength into a cup of his wrath, and it will be tormented, burning sulfur, before the holy angels and before the Lamb. The smoke of the fire that torments them will rise forever and ever, and there will be no relief day or night for those who worship the beast, or its image, or accept the mark. In other words, this highly esteemed organization of Satan will be highly esteemed among men, of course. It'll be a beast, of course, a beast, a political power, perhaps combined with religion, false religions, Islam and others. And it already has its own seal, its own mark. Now, they call it the mark on the hand of the forehead. But is it truly a literal tattoo, a mark, or is it simply an allegiance paid to Satan and his demons and to accept the demon, the demonic entity, into their mind, heart, and body to be possessed for the last day's events? You can think about that. Here's what sustains the holy ones who keeps God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, let them find rest from their labors, for their works accompany them. The martyrs who die serving God, they're going to be blessed, of course. And that concludes our study for today. Go to our website, krciradio.com. You can find many of these already uploaded. We'll finally get them all uploaded, but go to krciradio.com and leave us a message. Let us know you're listening. Call us at 928-368-6766 and leave a message. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.